It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. Our guest today is Matt Pogemiller. Matt is a physical therapist and clinical manager at Advanced Physical Therapy right here in Fairbanks. And today we're talking about physical therapy and what it can do for you. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. So, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get into physical therapy and, what brought you to Fairbanks?
Well, those are both long stories. But suffice it to say, I was a runner in high school and a little bit in college, and so that always got me interested in health and fitness. And I've always wanted to help each other, help other people, help people get better. And a lot of that started because I wanted to get myself better, figuring out how to do that. And that long winding road took me to physical therapy. And I came to Fairbanks for no particular reason. I did my undergrad at UAF, graduated in 2009, and then went to PT school, and I've been up here back in Fairbanks as a physical therapist for about 3 years now.
Ah, good. So you knew the life already. So I take it that Fairbanks had a big impression on you, enough to bring you back.
Yes.
Good.
I love it here, and the most nervous thing I had about coming back was that my wife had never lived here through a winter. She'd seen it in the summer, but she loves it here too.
Excellent, excellent. So, Matt, tell us a little bit more about what your situation was when you were a runner. Did you get injured? Did you get a setback in some way?
Yeah. Well, I was doing a lot of miles, somewhere between 50 and 70 miles a week, which is a lot. And as a PT now, unless you're an elite runner, I would say you probably don't need to run that much. But back then, I had a lot of IT band issues, and one profound thing that happened, I got bursitis in both of my hips, and a doctor just gave me medicine for it. And it wasn't until a couple years later I realized that I could change how I was running. And then I trained for a marathon a few years ago, and I had no IT band issues and without any medication.
What'd you do? How'd you fix it?
For a long time, I wore a heel lift just because I have I had a leg length discrepancy, but since then, I've worked a lot more on balancing my hip strength, making sure I've got good lower extremity strength balance, especially between quads and hamstrings, and working on developing a whole person instead of just running all the time.
So, Matt, I love that story because so often the easy way is for somebody to take a medication. Typically, it's a painkiller, but it could be a muscle relaxer or something like that. And then it turns out that it helps in the short run, but in the long run, you don't get any better. There's not any real improvement other than you have less pain, but then a lot of times the pain just comes back. Whereas if you can go figure out what the actual cause of something is, address it at its foundation, you don't need the painkiller. You get better. And not only that, but once you feel that the power of, hey, I actually did this. You know, the physical therapist, man, I don't want to take away your thunder here, but what you guys are doing is teaching and educating. I mean, you're doing the actual physical therapy. There's that. Let's say, but there's no doubt about it. But a lot of what you're doing is teaching people how to manage their condition on their own over their lifetime, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And one of the things I really like about it, and one of the things that pushed me more towards physical therapy than seeking to become a medical doctor or anything like that, was that interactions I've had with physical therapists before I became one, I always spent a lot more time talking to them. And now I get to spend a lot of time talking to my patients, and we can take that time to talk and educate. And one thing I really like about working at Advanced Physical Therapy is our treatments are an hour long and they're one-on-one. So I get to watch a patient do an exercise and be like, oh, this one's kind of not working. Let's try a different version of this or tweak this. And as you and I were talking about before we started recording, I've been seeing a lot of patients with shoulder issues, and I've been seeing a lot of changes with how shoulder blades are moving and working, and being able to really tweak that with patients And that education piece is so important when you can put it together with an exercise at that moment with that patient. And then they see, oh, yeah, that does make my pain less if I do it this way.
So, Matt, you bring up a good point, which is shoulder problems. They're common. And the weird thing about a shoulder is it is complicated. It moves in so many different ways. You go up, you go down, you from side to side, you can twist it around. I mean, it is really a movable joint. I mean, that we are designed to be able to, like, you know, climb trees and hang from things. And yet so many of us can't do that. It just doesn't work that way. And when, you know, people get older and things get fragile, you get, you know, rotator cuff tears and you get stuff like that. So there's a lot of knowledge and experience that goes into treating shoulders. So Matt, what do you do? Tell me your approach. If somebody comes in with shoulder pain, describe, like, over the radio as best you can, how somebody would go through your clinic and what kind of things would they expect to do or experience?
Well, so the first thing, of course, is hopefully with most medical settings or all medical settings, is you just talk to the patient, you get to know them. You get what we call subjective information. And a part of that, you want to know how long they've had their pain, what's going on with their pain. And more importantly, you want to know what their goals are. You want to make any treatments you do specific to it. And if a good subjective is taken, you can usually get a pretty good idea of what you're going to find when you start looking at how they're actually moving. And with shoulder patients, you want to see, can their arms go overhead out to the side, which directions are painful, how is it painful, how much pain is it, what kind of pain is it. And then not only are you looking at where the arm and shoulder meet, you're looking at what the shoulder blade is doing, you're looking at their posture, because our shoulders are anchored to our bodies, and our thoracic spines and cervical spines play a lot into how our shoulders are moving. So we'll look at all of those things, because there's almost never a patient that has some shoulder issue that doesn't also have some sort of partial issue or back pain or neck pain.
Yeah, what I've noticed is a lot of times people can't move right. They got some sort of blockage or connective tissues have got tight and they can't move. So what they do is they adapt and they do extra movements, or they swing your arm differently or twist it differently or something so that they can be functional. And yet what they're doing a lot of times, you know, again, gets them through that trying to reach the cereal box, but it ends up throwing things out in their back, causing other kinds of pains, other kinds of back pains or inflammation or swelling or something like that going on at the same time, right? The compensation itself turns out to be a problem.
Yeah, and most people with shoulder problems have upper trapezius issues, that muscle that connects the shoulder blades up to the neck. And a big part of that is because if you're trying to raise your arm and your arm doesn't move very well, you're going to lift your shoulder blade. And that's also where we carry our tension. And when we sit too long on our couches or our computers, and our shoulders start to rise up.
So,
and it just throws all the biomechanics off.
So Matt, what are you doing? Like, initially, are you doing more physical therapy, like with ultrasound or hot or cold or things like that? And then eventually you move into exercise, or does exercise start from the very beginning?
It's good to have a little bit of all of those things. It can be very easy to fall into passive treatments for patients. Manual therapy is very, very important for patients. That helps decrease their pain. We can address specific impairments they can't address on their own. So that's where the hands-on stuff comes in. So usually at an initial evaluation, I always try to do some sort of hands-on stuff. See if we can change the pain or change the joint motion with the use of my hands, and also give them exercise. Because like someone with those elevated shoulders, we want to get them working and practicing on the very first visit and getting those shoulder blades down and back so that we can start resetting the biomechanics of their shoulder.
Yeah, what I've noticed is that people get habits and they've learned to move their shoulder in a certain way in order to get it to do something, and they almost forget how they used to move their shoulder. And if you can just have them relax and simply move that shoulder through its range of motion, it's almost like a switch is flipped and they're remembering what they used to do. Do you notice that?
I notice that all the time. And I notice if I can show them just one or two times what it feels like to move it like it used to move, suddenly it will move without pain. We're like, oh yeah, that didn't hurt. It's because we turned on the middle and lower traps and the rhomboids of the shoulder. to help lower the shoulder blade and help reset those biomechanics.
It's interesting how it goes like that. It's not what you would expect. Normally you think, okay, I got a shoulder problem. They're going to go and they're going to rub it, or they're going to zap it, or they're going to shoot something into it or something like that. And really what one of the fundamental parts of physical therapy is, I guess you could say, to wake it up.
Yeah, well, I think even before that, we want to know exactly what's going on, so we can say, okay, this seems to be what's causing your pain. All these other things are perpetuating that pain or contributing to that pain, and we can help that by waking everything else up.
Yeah, once you get circulation going and you get the nerves working better and you get the muscles working in a connected, coordinated way, the things that are leading to pain, you know, the poor oxygenation or the inflammation or the tissue destruction, things like that, abate, and now you don't have the pain anymore. You don't actually need painkillers. What you just need to do is make sure that things stay connected and flowing and things like that. I mean, so usually what people are left with is some sort of exercise, some sort of practice to keep things awake and functional, right?
Yes. Should be a big component of any physical therapy program is some sort of home exercise program that addresses those specific goals we talked about at the very first visit, the very first time we meet.
So you talk about the hands-on being so important with the initial assessment and also part of the treatment, which brings to mind the next question, which is, you know, we live in COVID times now, and how are you guys managing the need for, you know, touch and close working with the dangers of, you know, picking up the COVID-19?
Well, so our first step, of course, is screening. We make sure, and this goes with any medical provider and in any practice, it's about patient selection. And so a lot of our patients we already know really well. We know, oh, hey, you haven't traveled out of state in the last couple of weeks. But we always ask them, have you had a cough or shortness of breath? We take the temperature. Everyone's wearing masks. We are sanitizing everything all the time. And with our hands-on treatment, I've definitely adjusted. There's some techniques I haven't done since this started because it involves me getting really close to a person. But sometimes I'll have them face away from me, or I'll have them go face down. Of course, wearing gloves and hand sanitizing when we can't wash our hands right away. But washing hands sometimes two or three times between each patient, because as soon as I walk a patient out of the clinic, I wash my hands. Sometimes I'll touch other things before I go grab my next patient. I'll wash my hands again. So just those basic standard precautions. But also anyone who's sick, we're not a patient PT clinic. We're not designed to deal with people who are symptomatic. So we're doing our best to screen and turn away those that show signs or symptoms of COVID.
Yeah, at least to where it shakes out whether they have it or not when the symptoms abate. You know, Matt, we're doing exactly the same thing. We're contacting people before they come in the clinic, asking them questions, making assessments, trying to figure out who really is safe and healthy enough to go into the clinic and get the treatment that they need to. One of the things that's a comfort to us is, and this may not last, mind you, but for now, is that the rate of COVID is so low here in Fairbanks. It's not zero by any means, but it is it is low. This whole social distancing thing and the precautions that we're taking are working. They really are. Now, we got a long road to hoe, and we're going to be having to do this for a long time until we get, you know, a vaccine or some more effective treatments lined up or something like that to keep people safe. In the meantime, we're doing everything we can to minimize the chances of spreading the virus, contracting and spreading the virus. And you know, it's working. Bottom line, I'll say it again. It's working. It really is. It's working. So we've had very little COVID in our practice, and we are absolutely delighted with that. And the other good news is that we've had a few patients get COVID, and each and every one of them have had a mild case, which is, again, knock on wood. It may have something to do with what we're doing. Maybe we're just lucky, but I'll tell you, whatever, I don't care the reason, just as long as they're all mild. That's what I'm shooting for. So,
The first thing we did with that was all our high-risk patients, we said, let's wait. Back in March, we called them and said, let's wait until May to have you come back. And we still have a lot of patients who are like, oh, we're going to go ahead and wait. So So I think that was another big thing that helped, is just let's help everyone stay safe by having, if we're the only reason people are leaving their houses, and you don't need physical therapy in that moment, maybe we can wait. But there are some patients that we have considered essential, as long as they weren't high risk.
Yeah, us too. Same thing. And the good news for us is, makes it a little different than you guys, is we can actually do telemedicine. Not always. Sometimes people have to come in. We need to look at something or do some physical exam or things like that. But a lot of the folks that we're able to treat, we can work with through the computer or through the phone lines. And I've been amazed at how well it's worked. It really has shocked me. I think that the face-to-face is a vital part of what we do. And I think it still is. But less than I thought, though. Hey, Matt, it's time for us to do a break. Let's do a break right now. We'll come back with more Health Talk here in a moment.
Okay. Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more Health Talk.
1 in 4 people will have heartburn this week. 1 in 6 suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion.
Do you have a new opinion, or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guests on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science, and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more Health Talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So, welcome back to Health Talk. We're here with Matt Pogemiller. Matt's a physical therapist who works at Advanced Physical Therapy here in Fairbanks. And we're talking about basically how to stay healthy and how to keep your joints working and how to minimize chances of getting horrible pain and utilizing physical therapy as a means to correct all those things. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
So, Matt, one of the things I want to ask you about is, since you've been doing this for a while, I want to know what kind of modalities or what kind of treatments you find particularly effective, or maybe different modalities for different kinds of problems.
Well, so we do trigger point joint needling in our clinic. Of course, for a while there, we weren't doing it when the governor's mandates asked us not to do it. But sometimes that can be a really useful treatment to specifically treat a really tight area of muscle.
Tell us about it. What do you do?
So trigger point joint needling, where we use acupuncture type needles, but it's not acupuncture. We're actually looking, it's kind of like doing soft tissue mobilization, which is what a term that PTs use that some can cover massage type techniques. It's like getting really specific to a very small tight band of muscle, and we insert a needle into the skin, and we look for the muscle to kind of grab onto the needle and then relax all the way. We call it a local twitch response.
And then what happens?
Some patients, it resolves pain they've had for years. And you're a little sore afterwards. It kind of feels like you exercised just that little tiny band of muscle that got released. And then it'll come the next day. It's like that's the first time in years that this pain has gone away. And there's all kinds of reasons we could go deep into the physiology of why dry needling works. But it's one of the things that seems to really help patients. And we have patients that come and say, I heard you guys do some dry needling. I'm interested in trying it.
What's the mechanism? How's it work?
Well, so there's a few theories about why it works. One of the basic ideas, again, is that the muscle grabs on needle when you pierce the fascia of the muscle, the muscle will respond to that, the insult from the needle is kind of a micro trauma of that needle, and then it relaxes to it. And one of the things that it changes is if you have had that really tight muscle for years, you talk about that it's not getting the blood flow that it should because it's just tight and all the blood vessels inside the muscle aren't flowing as well. And you get that muscle to grab on the needle and then relax right away and you get a lot of really good blood flow. And it changes the chemical milieu of it, as one of my favorite terms from the adrenaline courses I've taken. And it allows exchange of toxins that are in the muscle and gets more oxygen to the muscle. And it helps it relax. And there's also a nervous system component of it to help the nerves in the muscle to relax.
So this blood flow thing is really key. It's interesting that a needle would have such a profound effect on blood flow. But, you know, the human body is amazing. Sometimes the slightest little thing can trigger a problem, and the slightest little thing can trigger the solution. If you could put it in the right place at the right time, you could really turn a case around. So the needle thing is interesting. It sounds to me, first of all, it's interesting, but it also seems almost like a party trick. It's like, here, come over, sit down. Let me show you this thing. Boop. Hey, my muscle doesn't hurt anymore. I don't want to take anything away from the skill that goes into it, but it's trippy.
Yeah, it's crazy how it works when you first learn about it. When I was in PT school, like, trigger point dry needling? Like, oh, that sounds kind of cool and interesting. But once you start to see it really work, it can do amazing things. And again, it also comes down to patient selection. Some people just don't like needles. Some people don't have a good response to needles. They'll try it once, be excited about it, and it doesn't work for them. And we won't revisit it. And sometimes a patient will respond one way to needles in one visit, and the next time you try it again, because, you know, their pain came back. And it doesn't work the same.
Yeah, you know, nothing works all the time. And you have to be flexible and attentive and resourceful to be able to solve problems over the long run. So often something that's worked, you know, 9 times out of 10, that 10th time, forget it, doesn't work anymore. This whole medicine thing really keeps you humble and it keeps you thinking.
Yeah, and that's where you really learn, too. That's where you get better as a practitioner. Like, oh, this didn't work for this person.
Yeah.
And, you know, like any of our modalities, we want them, because, you know, we do provide ultrasound in the clinic. We have interferential current, which is a type of electrostimulation. We do neuromuscular electrostimulation as well for muscle reeducation. And of course, we have the hot and cold packs. And those are all great things. And again, we talk about the exercise. PTs, we're above all movement experts. And if we aren't getting people moving, if we're just doing the modalities on it, we're missing half the picture. Because if we have to keep needling the same muscle over and over again, that means we're missing some other piece of the picture.
Yeah. So what about those folks who, you know, the reason that they're having a problem is very obvious, is because they just got out of surgery. You know, the mm-hmm. trick with those folks is to make sure that the recovery moves along the lines that you want, that they don't get caught in some kind of weird compensation pattern where now they lose their function. Now, let me give an example that a lot of people know about is if you get a shoulder injury and then you go, ow, it hurts, and you quit moving your shoulder, what happens over time often is you can't move your shoulder. Your shoulder, the connective tissue, starts laying down thick, you know, belts of it, and you get what's known as a frozen shoulder. So talk to me about the folks who are, you know, coming out of surgery or they're coming out of an acute injury and what you do to make sure that the things heal along the right lines. And maybe even if you, you know, if things get clever, you could actually speed the healing. What about that?
Yeah, well, one of the first things, of course, we want to stay within the post-surgical precautions. We want to make sure it's healing well. But again, the biggest thing is movement. Early on after surgery, patients, especially shoulder surgeries, they shouldn't be moving the shoulder on their own a lot. But they can come into the clinic, and that's where the hands-on becomes really important, because we can move their shoulders through that range of motion.
Yeah.
And also the patient education is key, too, because there is going to be some discomfort. There is going to be pain after surgery, but there's a lot we can do to help that decrease it, again, with the hands-on stuff. That's where the modalities can be really useful. I mean, of course, you don't want to dry needle a healing muscle because you don't want that local twitch response. But, you know, heat, ice, soft tissue mobilization. Those things can all be really helpful.
So, Matt, do you work by yourself, or do you have a bunch of people working with you?
We currently have 5 PTs working in the clinic.
Okay. And you guys see patients 5 days a week, 6 days a week? How often?
We're Monday through Friday, and right now we're working about 7 to 5.
So
we've changed hours a bit because of COVID.
Yeah, the COVID's really set us back up. So it brings my next question, which is, how hard is it for folks to come in and see you?
It's really easy. In the state of Alaska, we are direct access for physical therapy, which means you don't need a referral from a doctor to come see us. The downside to that, though, is a lot of insurance plans require you to have a doctor's referral. We do have some cash pay that's available, or we can help you out with other types of services and get you going once a doctor's referral comes through for your insurance. We also have a bunch of different services. We have a PT who specializes in dizziness and vertigo. She's a vestibular specialist, and we have 2 pelvic floor physical therapists that work with us.
What kind of problems are they working on?
So working a lot on the pelvic floor. We have one, she's a female and male pelvic floor specialist. So working a lot on pelvic floor overactivity or changes, especially pre- and postpartum women and women who've had a few children. And there's a common myth out in our society that, you know, some women, you know, when they laugh or they jump, they might pee a little. And it doesn't have to be that way. A pelvic floor PT can help you figure out what's going on. And, you know, you don't have to worry about any incontinence when you're laughing or coughing or jumping or being participating in athletic events.
So it's the same thing we talked about before, which is the patient comes in, they get assessed, and they figure out, the therapist figures out what's working, what's not working, and then they intervene in some way to get things working, to strengthen muscles, to wake muscles up. That's weird how sometimes people have muscles they don't use. They basically don't use them, and they just get soft and weak. And then, oddly enough, well, not so odd, things quit working. And if you wake those things up, suddenly it's like, wow, I got my body back. It's actually working now. I can, you know, run again or whatever the thing is that they couldn't do before.
Yeah, that's right, and that's one of the things about the pelvic floor. Like, we talk about the shoulder, but there is a way to relate the pelvic floor to the shoulder motion, because our shoulders are anchored around thoracic spine, and if our posture is bad, it could be because our core is weak, and our core could be weak because our pelvic floor is weak. And all those things begin to play together, and that's where you start to look at the whole person. And we really strive to do that as physical therapists. And, you know, sometimes, of course, talked about insurance. Sometimes we're limited by that. Sometimes they don't like us to treat body parts that aren't listed on their diagnosis.
Yeah.
That's funny, the doctor's sign. So that's one of the fun games we have to play, is figuring out how can we help the patient. What's the best way we can go about that?
Man, I appreciate you going through the time and trouble to try to figure that out, because the amount of time and trouble that you bring into helping people, or the attention rather than trouble, makes a difference in whether they're functional or not. And really, if you can stay active in your life, it makes all the difference. Hey, Matt, I want to make sure that people know where you're at. You're at the Steese Medical Center, second floor, 12 of 75 Sadler Way, right?
Yes, we are.
Excellent. So are we. We're neighbors, man.
Yeah.
We're excited about sending you patients.
We're looking forward to seeing them. And I do want to say we are actually seeing telehealth patients as well. If seeing telehealth patients is what you'd call it. But yeah, we're set up to have the phone or computer calls as well. So if people need that. And the insurances have loosened up a little bit. So there are some patients who are able to do evaluations over telehealth.
Excellent.
Well.
Matt, thank you so much for being a guest today, and thank you so much for doing the good work you do.
Okay, yeah, thank you, and we look forward to working more together.
Excellent. I want to let you know that this has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of White Spruce Medical, located at the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks, where we treat the core of your problem. We help you to live the cure. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay in touch.
on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more health talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.